Okay, well, welcome to this workshop, Effective Drill. I hope you all can feel free to give ideas and have things to add to what I try to gather here. So please make yourselves at home, as they say. So the workshop description is line upon line, again and again and again. Here are effective drill methods for your lower grade classroom. So that is what I had to go off of. And first of all, my name is Charity Nolt. I am from Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I have taught the last 7 years at Blue Mountain Mennonite School in Milton Freewater, Oregon, which is about 6 hours from here. And I've taught grade levels 2 through 6. Last year I had grades 4 and 5, so I've taught mostly fourth grade is the one I've had the most often, so that's what I'm most familiar with. But yeah, definitely lower grades. There should be a few extra handouts back there. So quite a few years ago, actually, I was at a teacher's meeting in Ohio, and in one of those 10-minute talks at the end of the day, and the topic was review, and he wasn't really a very interesting speaker. And so his talk wasn't that interesting, but in between each of his points, he would say the words review, review, review. He just kind of said it in that, just repeated it very often throughout his 10-minute talk. Review, review, review. And the funny thing is, I hardly remember anything else from that whole meeting, and that is the thing that stuck with me, because he said it so often, review, review, review. But that is what we're trying to do with review, is we want it to stick in our students' brains after they forget all the other things that were probably more interesting, but that is the point that stuck. And so that is what we're headed for with our review and drill. We want these things to stick. And it was interesting, that verse that the workshop description was quoting is from Isaiah 28:10. I have it there on your handout. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And also some verses from Deuteronomy, they're just kind of fascinating when you think about review. God had things he wanted the children of Israel to remember, and he told them how to review them with their children. The verses prior to the ones I have on your handout are, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So, it's just fascinating to me, because so many of those things that verse talks about is what we do in school. We put them on our walls, we put these things that we want our students to remember, we talk about them in various places. Not quite the same as how it talks about in these verses, but so why review and drill? It's part of learning. God knows, God made us, he knows how our brains work, and that's why some of these verses are fascinating, just line upon line and so on. I didn't look up the statistics of how often we need to hear something or do something in order for it to go into our long-term memory. I know there's studies out there, but our brains are amazing things, and just from experience, I know the more often you do something or hear something, the deeper the paths go in your brain. Review, review, review. Anyway, so what are the important things that we want our students to remember? In order to know that, what is the end goal of what we're teaching? Obviously, there are short-term goals of getting through this year or these lessons or these books. But ultimately, we are a small part in a much bigger picture. We want to train them to be useful in God's kingdom. And then part of that training or learning to be useful is the discipline and training in school, to train our minds to learn and retain knowledge. We are naturally lazy, so review and drill is simply part of that training of the mind. But we are also naturally curious, and so especially children, they want to learn, they want to know new things, and so if we can find a way to keep them with us when we are reviewing once again, that is what we're aiming for. So review can get tiresome. How many of you are first grade teachers? Okay, great. So lots of you. So I have never taught first grade, so I can't speak quite to that, all the drill that you have to do. But I know, yeah, sometimes you just get tired of going over the same old stuff. You want to do something new, something interesting. But the younger your students are, the more drill they need and can be mind-numbingly boring, especially for you as a teacher. It's the same old thing, especially if you do it year after year. But my friend who taught first grade for many years, she said she loved doing drill. She's like, the more you drill, the more they get it, and it helps you out in the end. So hopefully you can find a way to, if nothing else, some of these games and activities probably came from me or somebody else trying to make drill interesting for the teacher, maybe more than for the students. But I hope you can find some things to take along back. So I would like, you maybe had a chance to look over the outline a little bit. I have some thoughts at the beginning that I'm going to go over, and then I'm not necessarily going to go over everything on this handout. I have some different games and methods of review that I've used, and I got ideas from a lot of different people. So these, I have not used all of these games and flashcards. So I tried to separate it. Some of the first part is more just review activities, just for general questions or just at the beginning of class, and then a bunch of flashcard games specifically. And then this other stuff at the end, like I said, I'm not really planning to go over it. I might point out a few things, but I just wanted you to have a resource to take back with you, and I always like to have some practical ideas at teachers' meetings. As we go through this, I would love if you all have ideas. I'll try to give a chance later on, like after the review games, maybe if you have some that would fit in that category. And then I'm not going to go over the flashcard games very much, but if you have some stuff to add, it would be great. I tried to leave room on there for you to write stuff down that other people have. Okay, another thing I was curious is, how many of you teach CLE? That's what I've taught most recently, and so I'm familiar with how their teacher's guides and so on are set up. So I'm sure there's similarities with teacher's guides. I should have looked at some other curriculums, but I didn't take the time. So, just starting there on the different thoughts on your own review. So the way I usually did class was just to have a review session right first thing. Lost my place here. Oh, what I was going to say about these review games and stuff, it all crosses over. It's kind of hard to separate it into neat categories. So it's just kind of a bunch of ideas, and it's not necessarily an order of importance or anything. It's just ideas for you. Your review types are going to vary from subject to subject, because you can do flashcard games a lot easier with math than you can with science or whatever. I guess if you love making flashcards, you can make flashcards for about anything. I don't really love making flashcards. So anyway, the first thing I would say when thinking about review is just use the review questions that are in your teacher's guides. The people that wrote the curriculum, they know what they're doing, or they know what they're aiming for. And so if you can use their review questions, that's a great place to start. So there, I'm talking about CLE language. They often have just a section of review at the beginning, just questions to ask. And one thing that's tempting as a teacher is to just look at the test and just review those questions. That is what they're going to be tested on, but it's not fair to just ask them the test questions every day, and then of course they get a good grade. So that's where using your teacher's guide is going to that's what they're going to review. Anyway, they're going to review the important things for them. But vocabulary, words, review sections, and C. Eliot's We Remember, they call it. They have a lot of review built into the lesson. And this is also kind of from C. Eliot's perspective, but they have the list right before the quizzes and tests of what they need to study before you might be familiar with that. But work on training them early to do that themselves. Obviously, they know how to read, but it's not your responsibility totally to make sure they pass the test. Obviously, you need to teach the content, but they need to learn to study. They're usually told study the vocabulary words and so on. But then I've had conscientious students who like, well, I have to study all the We Remembers, and they sit there for a long time before they take the test and just feel very, it's like they have to study everything. I'm like, yeah, there's a balance. I try to tell someone like that bogs down with reviewing every single question, well, just look at the ones you got wrong, just study those and study the vocabulary words and some things like that. Another point, be careful that review activities don't take a lot of teacher preparation time. Maybe that's where I show my laziness again. But some of the games that I've come across, it's like the teacher has to make all kinds of stuff just to play this game, just to review a few things, that you can probably find a game or find a different way to review concepts without having to spend all kinds of time making a fancy game pieces and so on. So most of the games that I have listed are probably reflective of what I like to do or just not have to do, maybe. I'll just call it efficiency, not laziness. And another thing that can happen, you can have a game that's so complicated or it's just that you don't actually get much review out of it. It's more about playing this game than the drill you're getting from it. So the point is, you want them to review these concepts. I'm kind of tired of saying the word review. Anyway, drill. You want them to learn these or review these concepts. But what was I going with that? But it shouldn't be so complicated that you don't actually review the stuff and you're just playing this game. Kind of lost my train of thought there. Anyway, so I would often, when I've had to ask a question, I just had this, I would say buzz, you could do whatever signal or something, but this is if, I would say a question, and if the whole class is going to answer it, I would say it, and then give a little bit of time, and then say buzz, and then they can all say the answer, or depends what kind of race you're doing, but sometimes I would just wait longer rather than just asking the question and saying buzz right away. I would wait a few seconds just to keep them guessing. But I was talking to one of my friends who has taught special ed for quite a few years, and she said, well, actually, there's research on that it's actually good to wait several seconds before getting an answer because that gives them more time to process the question, especially for the slower ones. It takes a little bit more time. And so I thought it was interesting. Don't have everything be just questions that people just call out the answer right away. Try to give a little bit of space, especially for the slower ones. Call on students randomly. Just don't just sit here and go down the row and ask this person and this person. You can do that every once in a while, but try not to be predictable. You don't want them to just settle in until they know it's their turn to answer the next question, and then they're going to pay attention. You want everyone to be engaged in the whole review session. And so just call on them randomly, but also try to make sure they're getting equal turns. So you can, whatever system you have, depending on how they're sitting, if you just go from the front to the back or have some way. Or I had my students numbered off in alphabetical order, and they just kept that number all year long. This is one of my favorite teacher hacks, by the way. And I use it for so many things, but so like if they would go up to the board to write, they would always just stand in their order of their numbers. If I'd ask review questions, sometimes I would say, well, just answer them in the order of your numbers. But I could start anywhere. I could start with 3, and they have to go in that order. They knew their order from there on. Or if you make teams, you can say it's the evens against the odds. It's just a very fast way to organize them into stuff. But so I would sometimes just get them to answer the questions in the order of their numbers, or just any, you can also have popsicle sticks with their names on them and just have a handful and then just pull them out one at a time. They never know who's going to be next. They kind of like that. And then when you use all the sticks, then you can start over. So review doesn't need to be thought of as this big project. It's going to be fitting in little bits and pieces throughout the day. It's actually better to do short sessions more often than to just have, you know, we're going to review for 20 minutes. Hard to keep their attention that long. Mm-hmm. But if you do scatter it throughout, then make sure it happens. It's easy to let it slide if you have other stuff that you think is more important, but review is important. So keep the drills short and fast moving, not long and boring. So you could do 5 minutes of flashcards after every recess instead of doing 15 minutes at a time, or you can go over the new words or new facts at the end of the day, right before they go home. Or if you have a lot of students, if you have, like, say, they're counting coins or something, you could have half of them do it the one day, half of them do it the other, rather than trying to have everyone always do everything on the same day. So aim for quality and not just quantity. And, yeah, pay attention to what they actually need. More isn't always more. So, use song, chants, or rhymes. Songs, chants, or rhymes. I have different things here in your handout. And I also have another stack up here if you're interested in more. I got these kind of after I was done collecting the rest, and I didn't feel like my sister had used them at another workshop. So I just printed out her paper of songs and stuff. So if you want more, there are some more up here, and help yourselves at the end. And if you have some, I'd be happy to hear them from you. Keep in mind the three common styles of learning: hearing, seeing, and doing, when you're doing a review. So if you can have a drill that uses all of them, that's great. It can reach more students. Or try to have different games, different days that would use those different learning styles rather than just always standing and asking the questions. There's, you know, they can see flashcards, or they can hear you. They're obviously, that's going to be a lot, is where they hear you asking the questions in class, or have them write the answers on the board instead of just saying them, or move. They can be standing, moving around the room as they give the answers. It's pretty rare that they would just be sitting in their desks for review. Watch for children, the dependent ones, or the ones who are just slower or don't know the stuff. If you always have the whole class chant stuff or say facts together, students can very easily slide by. I call them parasites. They just let everyone else do the work. Maybe they're lazy, but most often it's if they don't know the answers, it can be very easy to not catch on that this child doesn't know their facts just because you're always saying the answers out loud all together. So try to come up with ways to have them answer on their own, just don't do everything all together as a class. I mean, that's great. It helps. I mean, it's great to chant things and say things together, but then have ways that you can know that everyone's getting it and that there aren't some people who are just sliding by. Because I have another point on that. And then, of course, try not to let the review sessions get silly or too wound up. Students too wound up. Some drills or games just don't work for some groups of students. So you might have a favorite game one year and it just plain doesn't work for some others. It can be hard not to. It's for some reason, anytime you do something that's a little out of the ordinary, at least in my experience, you know, program practice or whatever, the students, it's not their normal procedure, and so they tend to act up more until you try this new game, and it can turn wild very fast or just silly. So you can try to explain it ahead of time, exactly how this game is going to work, and just have the understanding that the same rules apply when we're doing this flashcard game as when you're sitting at your desk. You still have to raise, if they're racing, obviously they're not going to raise their hands, but yeah, just stay in charge. And if the game just isn't working, you can stop. So another thing, kind of with my point earlier, but do have fun with review. Some of my favorite memories from last year were just, especially in the afternoons, sometimes we're trying to do science review and we were all kind of tired and got kind of silly. And we just had a lot of fun with some of our review sessions. So yeah, it doesn't need to be boring, but just keep them from getting too wound up. So this has a little bit more to do with games, but try not to have students that aren't participating, or at least not for long lengths of time. So it has kind of fits with my point earlier about watching that for the dependent ones. Or so if you have two teams racing, that's a fun game, but you can, if you have a slow child, they will potentially never say an answer. You know, it's always if they're the slowest student, they will, you might have 10 minutes of review and they will never have said an answer. And so be careful about that. I like to do races every once in a while, but try to find games, and I try to put them in here, that it's not always the slow child who's not saying the answer, or it's not always the fast one who's getting all the cards or whatever. Try to have stuff that you can know that everyone is actually getting review. So usually the fast ones are the ones who are going to win at a game with just playing two teams or two people racing in the normal way. But yeah, like I said, you can potentially have someone who will never get any help out of that. They can hear the right answer, but they might also just give up and they might not even try. They just know they're always going to fail, so they just won't even try when it's their turn. But on the other hand, when you have two teams racing, you can learn good sportsmanship from those types of games. They usually tend to be competitive, and it's a chance to be good losers. Or I came across this phrase, polite bragging rights, if you're the winner. Anyway, polite being the key, I guess. So, any thoughts that you would like to add on this, what I've gone over so far? Any questions or any other ideas? Don't be scared. What is, I guess one question, what is the worst thing for you about review? Or what do you dread the most, or what don't you like about review? Somebody from this section will please answer that. And someone from this section, what is a memory you have from school? Of review games or something that you that actually stuck with you from you remember your teachers doing.
So in our language arts that we had, like later in the year, they had a lot of review questions and stuff, and it just got really long. I had first grade, and some of it seemed like they had learned in reading already, like it was just building off of what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I didn't know what the balance was, if you could skip some of that review, if it was like stuff that they knew like really good or not.
Okay. What do you think? What do you all do?
Well, so sometimes it can feel, especially like second grade, they have to prepare when they review questions. And if you know they know the answer, it's almost boring to them and you go over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, you need to make sure they do know it.
I always tell my kids that they always like to say, oh, but we know it's so good, it's boring, you know. And I say, well, okay, good. If you know it's so good, then it'll take you 5 minutes to skip it.
That's okay. Good.
I don't want to skip it, but maybe I'm
Are you you're talking specifically about like the ones
like
in the teacher's guide?
Yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily their work.
Questions.
Yeah.
Or like asking questions, yeah.
What do the rest of you do?
I think you should never underestimate the power of review. Even if you do think they have it, I would still say review is awful.
I like to challenge mine to do it faster than they did the day before.
Yeah, I know. Where I got tired of it is when they would have all these sentences for the teacher to copy, you know, fill in the punctuation, which I would find ways to shorten that, not have to do all that copying. But yeah, I think, well, it probably depends on your students. If it is just a really fast group, that you know they can get away with it. But it is also amazing how much children forget over the summer, or how much they... Yeah, they think they know. And it. Does anyone else have something to add to that?
Something my students like is I divide them up into pairs of two, and then like maybe this is more for a new concept. I do it for review too. Divide them into pairs of two, and then they group get with their partner, and they tell each other what they learned or what they're supposed to do, and they kind of just like tell each other. And I also put like a slow student and a fast student together.
That's a good idea.
They love doing interacting together with each other.
Yeah, that's a good one. Kind of be the teacher. They can pretend they're. So I asked this section, what's a memory you have of review from when you were in school? You were just all fast students and didn't need review? Switch it up and maybe explain what you're actually doing. So it's funny. It's a good story. I don't actually remember very much from younger grades. I remember doing some races and stuff, but in the upper grades, well, my dad was my teacher, but I just remember doing social studies review. We had a lot of fun with that, but we didn't do this very often, but just for fun sometimes, we would all be standing, and then when somebody gave the answer, but then three people were allowed to try to give the answer, but whoever said it the loudest got to have the point. So I think he was working on volume there, but it actually was kind of a fun activity. It just people spoke up in class more than ever before, and yeah, it was just kind of a funny memory of us yelling these answers as loudly as we could. Obviously, we didn't do it very often at all. Okay. I'll take more input or ideas. And the review games, one thing I like to do the last couple years is just have a stack of 50 flashcards. So last year I had fourth and fifth grade, so multiplication flashcards. And they would do the same stack every day. And so I had Sour Patch Kids as the candy we had last year. But if they beat the day before, they got one. And if they beat their record, they got two. And so they were racing against their own record, not against anyone else. But it's just, we had a lot of fun with it. And I don't usually announce the score, but there are definitely some sharp ears. they would keep track of what everybody else had. But and I've tried to be careful for some of the slower ones, you know, not to say it that the others can hear, but my fastest one got, in fourth grade, she had 132 in a minute, and it was pretty fun. Then I had a record that they were trying to beat. I said she can get the whole bag if she can beat me, but she was really close, and I just really wanted her to beat me. But so she had 132, which I think that was the highest I ever had for students. But which brings me to my next hack. Now, for flashcards, I love using fingertip moistener. I used to use it when I would count money at the grocery store where I worked before, but they're just like these little round, it's not a very good picture, but you can buy them at Walmart, but that's what they look like, sort quick. But it just gives grip to your fingers, and you can flash. I always put it on when I flash flashcards, because it just helps you to go faster and keeps it from, I don't know if my hands are dry or what it is about flashcards, but it just gives me enough grip to go faster. But yeah, sort quick. We just get it at Walmart. Anyway, that's what I like to do, flashcards. Help me to go faster. Another review game I like to do a lot is just have the whole class stand up, and I would ask questions, and they could just shout out the answer after I said buzz, like I said. But they would keep track how many on their fingers, how many points they got. But I wouldn't always say how many they need to sit down. So I would just say count them on your count points on your fingers. And I liked that because if the whole class says it, I don't like being this referee all the time. Like, who said it first? It's like if you said the answer, like if it's not obvious, who said it? If you said the answer, you may count it as a point. And so they could add up the points pretty fast. But then at some point, I would just say, okay, if you have at least 5, you may sit down. Well, then some of the faster ones might have 10 or more, but they just, if they had at least 5 answers, they could sit down. And then so the slower ones, yeah, so it wasn't as obvious who's getting the most right here. And so sometimes, you know, there might be a few still standing. And I didn't always do it that way. Sometimes I just told them at the beginning. When you get 5 right, you may sit down. But yeah, I sometimes like to just not tell them the number until partway through. So the slow ones might only need 2 more. Another thing that was fun is they all just stood up, and then if they said the answer, they could take a big step, which you have to define, big step. Not jump, not whatever, and you have to have rules about where all they can go, not crash into each other. But they could take a big step and just work their way around the room, and that was kind of fun. And another thing I did, especially last year, well, we had some of the grades had textbooks for math, and so I would give them 5 minutes to just, they could bring their book up to the board, and they could just do as many of the, it's sharpening your skills. This is the computation section at the end, which you could do with light units or however. Anyway, I would just have them come and do their problems on the board, as many as they could get done in 5 or 7 minutes, and they didn't have to copy those and do them later. And I could check them right away. I could watch them work. I really liked it just to be able to see how well they know it. And they would really stick at it because it's more fun to work on the board. And the more you got done on the board, the fewer you had to do in your book. I didn't really have problems with them copying because they were trying to get copying each other's answers because they were trying to get as many done so they didn't have to do them later. So, I don't know if you have any questions about anything else on the rest of this section. Some different ideas. Like I said, some of these I got from other people. I haven't actually used all of them. Does anybody else have review games that you'd like to use?
I have a question. You said you did flashcards. You said you did 50 flashcards?
Yeah, so we would do 50. They would start, yeah.
Oh, after they got through.
Right. Yeah, so I would just take the stack. Because it's hard to for me to go fast with like a whole big hunk, and so I just, and it's easier to count. So, you know, you got through it twice, it's 100, or you can just, it's easy to count up the total.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
I teach first grade, and I feel like I do a poor job with some of the students. I feel like they don't know their fast enough when they move on. It just bugs me.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any suggestions?
Just do them a lot. But I know that like for first grade teachers and. It just gets really old doing those facts, but it's so nice if they know them when they get to third and fourth grade. But that's where I like doing it for each student, which if you have a lot of students, it's kind of hard to fit in, you know, timing. They would remind me, or they would be disappointed if we didn't do our flashcards because they didn't have a chance to earn their candy, which I'm not a huge fan of handing out candy all the time, but it's a little. Anyway, I would try to get it done in during math class, but it would sometimes go throughout the day. But yeah, I like that each student was getting it every day, not just one, you know, not just you. What was your question? Oh, just how to do drill. So I have. Yeah. Is this drill and drill and drill, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't... Does somebody have...
One thing I like to do with older ones, and I started doing some of the younger ones, because the older ones do it, the younger ones love it too, and that's mental math. You have to get real slow and start out with simple facts, and they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does sharpen them, because it makes them think, and they get really fast.
Yeah, that is... it's kind of fun to see how much faster they are at the end of the year. I mean, it's you can see that progress.
That's the way that test maps fast, three different ways. And it's a grid that has numbers 1 through 9, okay, on the grid. And it's sometimes just dominoes, sometimes just like shapes with the size. Mm-hmm. But it's 1 through 9, and then you give everybody squares that have the answers 1 through 9 on. And then you give them facts, like mentally. They have to think of the answer, pick out their number, then find it on the scoreboard and put it on that square. It's kind of like bingo.
Okay.
And so that test it 3 times. You think it, you find it, and you find the place. And so, and I cannot believe how effective it is.
So you could just make your own grid of 1 through 9. It's not like
it's very cheap. She'll email you a PDF for just a few dollars. And there's probably 20 different words. Sometimes it's numbers. Sometimes, like I said, it's shapes.
Okay.
Sometimes it's dominoes. Sometimes it's tally marks.
Interesting.
And sometimes when they get really good at it, it'll be facts. Like it might be 3 plus 2.
Oh.
So that block is 5. But then they have to think of another problem to put it in.
That is really good. You say Marcy Cook?
MarcyCook.com.
Okay. No, I've never heard of it.
And it looks homemade. Really homemade.
So you could probably make your own, except I don't like to make one. So
no.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really good.
MarcyCook.com.
Yeah. So you could just use your own flashcards then if you wanted.
Yeah, you can
or
flashcards, but you can read it. She has a list
okay.
of questions to go with each, so that you for sure get
1 through 9 answers. Yeah, that's neat.
For time, like cost, and money, and multiplication, division, subtraction, you can get
the okay. Yeah, thanks for that. Sounds like a really neat resource. The one flashcard game I was going to talk... You lay out rows of flashcards. It works with fewer students. I would have maybe 4 of them do it at a time. But just lay out a whole bunch of flashcards, and then you just say an answer. And then so there might be multiple, you know, 9s. There's 4 plus 5, 3 plus 6. But they hit a card that has that answer, and so they get to keep it. If they hit a wrong card, they need to put it back down. But that we had a lot of fun with that one, too, because, like I said, you have all these different facts, and so... there might be 5 answers out there of that same. That's a little bit that idea, but I like that sound. Marcy Cook, I mean, it's definitely, she has a whole level more than that. So, what are your favorite flashcard games? Or if you have any questions on ones that I have written down that don't make sense, I kind of selected them from different people and tried to make sure you can at least hopefully figure it out. Under the math section, under songs, rhymes, and chants, I thought I'll show you these a few resources I have. I had a student with dyslexia, and I was trying to teach the multiplication tables. And so I use this book quite a bit for that. It makes up stories to go with all kinds of multiplication facts. So there's a story about these 2 sixes that were going across the desert, and so the 6 and 6 is 36. They finally got to an oasis. So 6 times 6 is 36. And it was amazing how much these stories actually made the facts stick. So I'd have to say sometimes is like butterfly, and he'd be like, oh, 21, because there's a story about the butterfly 3, and then the 7 is a tree, and then the worm, oh, whatever, they had this whole story, but yeah, 3 times 7 is 21, and so it has stories like that for a lot of the facts. It's times tables the fun way. I got it at a thrift store, I think, I don't remember where, but I wrote the authors down there in case you want to try to find it online or somewhere. Like, I don't really know where to find it other than this is the book. And I would just tell the story to the whole class. I didn't use nearly all of them, but it's kind of fun. And then another one that I've used somewhat, and maybe some of you are familiar with these wall charts from Lorraine. Maybe somebody knows Steiner, I think her last name is. I couldn't find her last name on these papers, but she has these stories that go with each of the edition is all the way up to 8, is it up to 20? 18, maybe 18. So Mr. Rowena knows them better than I do. But let's see, you probably know these. Do you want to say them for us?
Name the creatures in the den, tell what numbers equal 10, 1 and 9, porcupine, 2 and 8, hibernate, 3 and 7, bears awaken, 4 and 6, tiny pricks, 5 and 5, awaken alive.
So she has, yeah, these rhymes, sorry, you couldn't see it over there. Rhyme, did any of you ever use these wall cards? Do you like them? Like, do they help? I only taught second grade 1 year, and we used them. I used the 11th through 18th. But yeah, I think the first you use them pretty much for the ones, or five, is it 4 or 3?
I tend to start at like 8 or 9 and go up. I don't need them smaller.
2 and 7 socks for Kevin, I think. Something like that. Anyway, so I have her information on there underneath the mask. Yeah, it's just she has her address on here, and I guess you can contact her if you're interested. Interested in those. Oh yes, that's right. She does have, and she has stuff, some times ones, or at least rhymes to go with the times tables. I never really use those, but yeah, there are flashcards that have these little pictures on as well. You can buy from her. Okay, any questions or comments or ideas to add? I'd be happy to hear from you.
So the first grade theory, I think it's important
that especially at the end of the book, the school is always
going to
have a few things. And they're really, really important that you get them, like, really, really well. They're going to be really, really good.
Well,
yeah, you're almost familiar with the first grade.
But. Yeah, they relearn them in second grade.
It's depressing how much they forget from first grade to second grade. Sorry,
the
first grade.
The flashcards you do in first grade, the better off you'll be when you start out in second grade.
Yeah.
It's like less, it wasn't this past year, the year before, I had fewer students, and I decided to make it my goal to just study flashcards with them, like, amazingly much. And all of them could get 100 flashcards in a minute in everything that we had learned. And the next year, like, in a couple of days, they were back up in like the 70s maybe. Like, it made so much a difference that they had learned of them that well.
Hear ye, hear ye. I think that's just a great story. But yeah, I realize too, depending how many, sometimes you have lots of students, you can only do so much. But yeah, if you have the time, or try to make the time, or just go for it.
I had trouble with that too. One thing I found was, like, in the morning, I had this lot of time when I was getting second grade going. Why I did that, I gave flashcard sheets to the first grade that they could just do by themselves. Mm. And I did that, like, every morning for the last month or two or so, and I noticed a huge difference that year versus the previous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's something that they could do by themselves without taking up my time.
Mm-hmm. Would you check every single paper then, or are you just kind of like?
Some.
Sometimes
I
you can.
Tried to.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to make sure they were getting it right at least.
Yeah. Thank you. So review, review, review. So thank you all for coming.